Chapter 15. Long there had been much of a murky color in the scene, dull prospects meeting duller, not between. Last, there loomed a closing in blind alley, though there boomed a feeble summons to rally where it gloomed. The clock rang, the hour brought a hand to deliver. I upsprang, and looked back at then, ditch and river, and sang. The enemy's portrait. He saw the portrait of his enemy, offered at auction in a street he journeyed nigh, that enemy, now late dead, who in his lifetime had injured deeply him the passerby. To get that picture, pleased be God, I'll try, and utterly destroy it, and no more shall be inflicted on man's mortal eye a countenance so sinister and sore. And so he bought the painting. Driving homeward, the frame will come in useful, he declared, the rest is fuel. On his arrival, weary, asked what he bore with him, and how he fared. He said he had bid for a picture, though he cared for the frame only. On the morrow he would burn the canvas, which could well be spared, seeing that it portrayed his enemy. Next day some other duty found him busy. The foe was laid his face against the wall, but on the next he set himself to loosen the straining strips. And then a casual call prevented his proceeding therewithal. And thus the picture waited, day by day, its owner's pleasure, like a wretched thrall, until a month and more had slipped away. And then upon a morn he found it shifted, hung in a corner by a servitor. Why did you take on you to hang that picture? You know it was the frame I bought it for. It stood in the way of every visitor, and I just hitched it there. L, it must go. I don't commemorate men whom I abhor. Remind me tis to do. The frame I'll stow. But things become forgotten. In the shadow of the dark corner hung it by its string, and there it stayed once noticed by its owner, who said, ah me, I must destroy that thing. But when he died, there, none remembering, it hung, till moved to prominence, as one sees, and comers pause and say, examining, I thought they were the bitterest enemies? Imaginings. She saw herself a lady with 50 frocks in wear, and rolling wheels, and rooms the best, and faithful maiden's care, and open lawns and shady for weathers warm or drear. She found herself a striver, all liberal gifts debarred, with days of gloom, and movements stressed, and early visions marred, and got no man to wive her, but one whose lot was hard. Yet in the moony night-time she steals to style, and lead during his heavy slumberous rest when home come wearily, and dreams of some blessed bright time she knows can never be. On the doorstep, the rain imprinted the steps wet shine with target circles that quivered and crossed as I was leaving this porch of mine, when from within there swelled and paused a song's sweet note, and back I turned, and thought, here I'll abide. The step shines wet beneath the rain, which prints its circles as heretofore. I watch them from the porch again, but no song notes within the door now call to me to shun the dripping lee and forth I stride. January 1914. Signs and tokens, said the red-cloaked crone in a whispered moan. The dead man was limp, when laid in his chest, yea, limp, and why but to signify, that the grave will crimp ere next year's sun, yet another one of those in, that house it may be the best for its endless drowse. Said the brown-shawled dame to confirm the same. And the slothful flies on the rotting fruit have been seen to wear, while crawling their crepe scarves, by eyes that were quick and acute, as did those that had pitched on the cows by the pails, and with flaps of their tails, were far away switched. Said the third in plaid, each word being weighed. And trotting does in the park, in the lane, and just outside the shuttered pane, have also been heard quick feet as light as the feet of a sprite, and the wise mind knows what things may betide when such has occurred. Cried the black craped forth, cold-faced as the north. Oh, though giving such some headroom, I smile at your falterings, when noting those things round your domicile. For what can touch one whom, riven of all that makes life gay, no hints can apple of more takings away? Paths of former time? No, it must not be so. They are the ways we do not go. Still chew the kine, and moo in the meadows we used to wander through. Still purl the rivulets and curl towards the weirs with a musical swirl. Haymakers as in former years rake rolls in two heaps, that the pitchfork rears. Wheels crack on the turfy track the wagon pursues with its toppling pack. I then shun since summer's not done all this, because of the lack of one. Had you been sharer of that scene you would not ask, while it bites in keen, why it is so we can no more go by the summer paths we used to know. 1913. The clock of the years, a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. And the spirit said, I can make the clock of the years go backward, but am loth to stop it where you will. And I cried, agreed to that. Proceed. It's better than dead. He answered, peace, and called her up as last before me, then younger, younger she freshed, to the year I first had known her woman grown, and I cried, cease. As far as good it is enough let her stay thus always. But alas for me. He shook his head. No stop was there, and she waned child fair, unto babyhood. Still less in mean to my great sorrow became she slowly, and small till she was not at all in his checkless griff. And it was as if as he had never been. Edder, I plained, she were dead as before. The memory of her had lived in me, but it cannot now. And coldly his voice. He was your choice to mar he ordained. 1916. At the piano, a woman was playing, a man looking on, and the mold of her face, and her neck, and her hair, which the rays fell upon of the two candles there, sent him mentally straying in some fancy place, where pain had no trace. A cowled apparition came pushing between, and her notes seemed to sigh, and the lights to burn pale, as a spell numbed the scene. But the maid saw no bail, and the man no monition, and time laughed awry, and the phantom hid nigh. The shadow on the stone, I went by the Druid stone. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.